A reading from Ecclesiastes 3:1-15, page 616 of the Old Testament, or follow it here on the screen. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up. What is planted? A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. The Creator has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future in their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That is which already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. Thus ends our reading for today.
So today we're going to talk about time, one of my favorite subjects and one I struggle with. Because sometimes time can be our friend, and sometimes it can be our foe. So let's just think about how you've used time this morning. How many of you used a watch or a clock to try to get to church on time, or to do some other endeavor already this morning? How many of you have a calendar that you're going to look at some point today to try to figure out what you're doing the rest of the day and what you might be doing tomorrow and next week? And maybe if you're thinking now it's summertime and vacation's coming, how do we get that on the calendar so that we make time for something enjoyable like that? So time, sometime, just it drives us forward, right? It keeps us going in life. And then there's sometimes that you have experiences where you feel like you're wasting time. And all of us who live in Southern California know all too well what it's like to get stuck on a freeway. And as you know, in the United States, the people who live in Los Angeles area, we spend more time on the road than anyone else in this country. It's bad enough when the cars are moving in front of you, but when they're not, you feel like you're just sitting there wasting time. Sometimes you even get irritable when you waste time, like I did last Saturday when I was doing a memorial service at someone's home. It was to begin at 2 o'clock, and I got there as I normally do ahead of time, so I could put them at ease that the person running the service was there. So at 1:30, I showed up. It was 3 o'clock when we began the service, not 2 o'clock, because we had to rely on the stragglers from the family who were coming. And finally, I said to the wife, at 3, we're beginning whether they're here or not. They already had 50 people sitting out in their backyard. You know how hot it was a week ago Saturday. They weren't having much fun. And I clearly wasn't having much fun, thinking I've just wasted now an hour of my day off that I could have been doing something else. That's how we sometimes deal with time. So Solomon, in this third chapter of Ecclesiastes, has something to say to us about time. And as you heard these words, as the choir sung them, and then as Allison read them, you realize this is the part of Ecclesiastes you know. This is the part you've heard. You probably have not heard any of the rest of the material that we're covering, but you know these words about time. You've heard them in church. You've probably heard them at a few funeral services over the course of your lifetime, because that's a popular place that they're read. And all of you probably in this room are old enough to know a song. It's the one-hit wonder that the Birds were able to accomplish with their song, Turn, Turn, Turn. I mentioned that the first week, and I saw some of you just starting to sing along. You don't need to sing along today. But you know these words and what he says about time. He lays them out in 14 statements, and they kind of have an opposite. And he puts the bracket around them with the first statement. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And I would say within that bracket, everything else you have is a gift of time from God. It is your life. And what will you do with that time that you have between your birth and your death? There's a saying about that that you'll sometimes hear, and if you occasionally might hear me use it at a funeral. It's a story called The Dash. Any of you know The Dash? The preachers in the room are shaking your head. It's kind of stock material to use at a memorial service if you don't have anything else to say. If you think about going out to a cemetery, if you go over to Mountain View and you look at a tombstone, any of them or all of them, you're going to find a dash. The dash occurs between the other things engraved on the stone, which is your date of birth and your date of death. And guess what? The dash is yours. That is your life. That is the uniqueness of what you've done with this time between the first date chiseled in stone and the last date chiseled in stone. And Solomon lays out a variety of things that happen within the cycle of living. It's the, if you will, the lows and the highs of life, something we can all understand. But we also have to realize that he's also telling us that God is in control of life, and that for God, all things are in God's hands. God is working all things out for good is another way people of faith say that from our scripture. Sometimes we don't see that aspect. Sometimes we forget that God is working all things out for good. Sometimes we just see the ugly cocoon of life and forget that inside God is creating a butterfly about to be set free that is so beautiful. Sometimes we can only focus on our pain or our problem and wonder if it's going to get any better or if it will heal, often forgetting that God might just be using that pain or that problem to grant us a wholeness and a healing that will come in time. And I think that's what we need to remember as we go through life, as we face some of these difficult challenges and moments that will come our way, that we're not seeing the end, because we also have to realize we only see this world while God sees eternity. So I think that's what we're to learn about the first section of the material that Solomon lays out about time. And then after he finishes those 14 statements, he basically says, do you realize that the time you have is a gift? And that we should be careful stewards of that gift. That's what I want to focus on for the rest of my message this morning. How can we be careful stewards of the gift of our time. I'm going to give you a quote from Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Do you love life?" And when he asked that question, he went on to answer it. "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." How are you doing with your gift of time? And by the way, we all have the same gift. We all are given 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week, and you get the concept. It's not like we're differently gifted with time. We have the same amount. It's what we do with this gift that matters. And I would say to you, there are two things I've learned about time. You probably know these as well. The first is, don't put off tomorrow what you want to accomplish today. I'm going to come back to that one. And the second is, if it's truly important to you, you will make time for it. I'm going to come back to that one in a minute. So don't put off tomorrow something you want to do today. I want to share a story that happened on Monday. I made a phone call to a young 50-something-year-old widow who just lost her husband last Saturday. So I was calling to extend my condolences and to see how she was coping. And of course, she was very tearful on the phone. She was able to say this about her experience of living with Sam, her husband. She said, "We learned in 4 years of marriage that we had to make every day matter." She said, "It was actually my second marriage. My first husband also died of cancer. And when I met Sam, he became the next love of my life. But I went into it knowing that he might get sick because he had already dealt with his cancer. We thought it was in remission and under control, and we just went on in life hoping that it wouldn't come back. 3 years into our marriage, it came back, and now he's gone. But knowing this, we made each day matter in our marriage." She said, "I might have only had 4 calendar years with Sam, but the way we lived life, it felt like a lifetime." Those of us who do end-of-life work will be the first to tell you, do not put off tomorrow what you might want to do today, because there is no guarantee that tomorrow will be your gift. Second wisdom: if it really matters to you, you will make time for it. How often do we use that excuse, "Oh, I just don't have the time"? You're really saying, "I don't have the interest or the desire or the drive or the will." Because if it matters, you will make the time for it. And here you're going to find Solomon's gift, because he weaves a thread throughout this book of Ecclesiastes about the balance in life. And you're going to hear more of that as the summer goes on. And time is something that you have to balance because of its precious commodity that it is. You only have a certain amount. And unfortunately, we live in a world, at least in the Western culture of America and the way we look at time, that somehow we've become to think that activity equals time. That the more active we are, the more productive we are, the greater we're using our gift of time. That is a falsehood if there ever was. We've created all kinds of gadgets. You've got a bunch of them at home sitting around your house that were designed and sold to you to save you time. They didn't save you time. They took your money, and they allowed you to do something else with the time that you would have used if you not had that product. But that product has not saved you time, nor do I think it's really probably improved your quality of life, if you're honest about it. What choices are you making with your time? Where is there balance in your life? Is there a balance between work and play and rest? If you're out of balance like me, then you need to address that and think about ways you can resolve to make the balance more balanced. It will only improve your mental health, trust me. The gift of time. We look at it now as it means to do, do, do. Constantly be in motion. God says that's not how I look at time. Time is meant to be. Simply to be in my presence. Simply to be with people you love and care about. So I'm going to add a new one to Solomon's list. There will now be 15 instead of 14. So when you read Joe's version of Ecclesiastes, the last one will say, and there will be a time to do, and there will be a time to be. I want to send you forth today thinking about the time to be. Just to be present in your own self. To be aware that you are alive. To be aware of the gifts around you. And to be in God's eternal presence. Time, it has been said, is our most precious commodity right now. If you're like me, you probably don't feel that you have enough. And if you feel that way, then you have to do the work to find the balance between doing and being. Think about your life and the gift of time that you have. And see whether you want to spend more time doing or spend more time being. Amen.